Somebody was saying this morning that next week is when the Eastern Russia in that area is going to celebrate the resurrection. As a matter of fact, the split between East and West was over when the date of the resurrection should be. I've always thought, what a thing to be arguing about. Let's just celebrate the resurrection. If you want to argue about it, let's just celebrate it both times, and then, you know, it would be a lot more fun that way, right? Because the celebration is something to celebrate, the resurrection is something to celebrate a lot. And to have the joy of realizing every Sunday what we have in the resurrection. So that's what I want to talk about is benefits of the resurrection. One of the benefits, obviously, is salvation. We are saved because of the resurrection. If Jesus had not raised, what would we have? What would we have? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We would have nothing. And because of the resurrection, last week we looked at the fact that because of the resurrection, we are secure in Christ. Because our life is hidden with Christ in God. And I'm glad that I don't have access to it, because I'd mess it up somehow. You know, we as humans seem to specialize in stupidity a lot of times. And if you don't believe that, watch the news and politics and you'll be absolutely convinced of it, you know. But even as Christians, sometimes we do some really foolish things. And sometimes I sit and shake my head and say, why did I do that? And then I'm fascinated that Jesus Christ says, if we will confess our sin, He, being faithful and just, will forgive us our sins. Because of the resurrection. Tonight I want to look at a benefit of the resurrection, and that's holiness. Because God gives us the ability to live a holy life and to get away from stupid, you know, to get away from the things that are foolishness and live a godly life. I have that ability. You have that ability because of Jesus Christ. When God gave Moses the pattern for the tabernacle way back there in Exodus, He told Moses that He had set aside two men with a skill to do the work. He said in Exodus chapter 31, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship. So not only does God give us the spiritual wisdom and the thoughts and everything, but when we do things for God with our hands, they're still serving God faithfully. And God did that in giving them the ability to build the tabernacle. It says that God filled them with the Holy Spirit to do the work. I like that. I like having the Holy Spirit in my life. It makes a huge difference in life when we have the Holy Spirit. Think of this. When Saul was made king, now, Saul didn't do a real good job after a while. But when Saul was made king, when he was anointed king, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6 that Samuel told him, I'm anointing you with oil. You go down the road a ways, and pretty soon you are going to be filled mightily with the Holy Spirit. So when Saul was made king, God filled him with the Spirit for the purpose of service. Now, eventually, God, he rejected what God's advice and what God's counsel was. And so the Spirit came and went from him, went and came back times. And Saul had a miserable life because of that. And I also think of David. When Samuel anointed David, it said that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. And David from that point on was filled with the Holy Spirit for service as King of Israel. It was a while. He went through some real trials before he became king, but he was king over Israel and he was filled with the Spirit. And then you remember when he sinned with Bathsheba and he confessed that sin. There's an interesting part of his prayer there in Psalm 51. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Do we ever have to pray that? Do not take your Holy Spirit from me? No, we don't. We don't have to pray that. David did because he was filled with the Spirit for a special service, and the joy of the Lord was such that he did not want to lose the filling of the Spirit. What a joy it was and what a privilege it was. So why would David say that? What is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament on the filling of the Spirit? You probably know this, but do you remember it enough to be thankful to the Holy Spirit for staying with you? Because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon certain people for a certain work, and when that work was completed, he often left them. And I wonder, would you feel an emptiness without the Spirit? It's like, wow, Lord, can I do something else so that the Spirit can come back? Because I don't want him to leave. What a privilege it would have been to have the Holy Spirit for this special service. The Holy Spirit was not on every believer in the Old Testament. It was a very special thing and a very specialized thing. It might only be temporary. In David's case, it was for the life from the time he was anointed until he was taken when he died. But in the New Testament, it's an extraordinary privilege to have this the Holy Spirit in us all of our life, all of our spiritual life, from the time we are saved until we die. We have the Holy Spirit. What a great privilege that is. Sometimes we get so used to it that I think we forget what a privilege it is to have the Holy Spirit within. And sometimes we forget to listen to the Spirit and to tune in to what the Spirit is telling us and how the Spirit is guiding us. Why did this Holy Spirit start coming upon us and staying with us in the New Testament when he didn't in the Old Testament? Oh, because of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, we now have the benefit of holiness through the Holy Spirit who is in our lives and stays there. He's there to strengthen us. He's there to teach us. He's there to help us in prayer. He's there for many, many things in our lives. And he's actively involved in our lives. Do we take the time to listen and to follow what he says? Benefit of the resurrection. Holiness enabled through the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful that the Holy Spirit is with us. We're thankful that he's our teacher, that he's our guide. We're thankful that he's always faithful to us. Remind us, Lord, as we look into your word and the benefit of resurrection. Teach us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to John chapter 16. This is part of the upper room discourse, and 13 through 16 is actually considered the upper room discourse. Technically, in chapter 16, they're not in the upper room. They've already left the upper room, and they're making their way to the Mount of Olives, to the Garden of Gethsemane, but I'll refer to it as the upper room because that's where Jesus started teaching them, and he taught them chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16 over this celebration of the Passover. And he talked about the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 16, he says in verse 7, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. I don't think the disciples would have thought of that. We don't want you to go away. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. The resurrection judged him. Jesus said that when he left, he would send the Holy Spirit. He says that in verse 7, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I don't think they really understood exactly what was going on, but Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to help in convicting the world. And it says, convicting of the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Do we live in a world that needs conviction? You're not sure? Well, there's a few of you. Okay. We live in a world that needs conviction. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit, is to convict people of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Whether they want to hear it or not, the Holy Spirit is here in us to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And that's why Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount to let your light shine, to be salt and light, so that the world can see Christ in us. So the Holy Spirit was promised by Jesus Christ so that the world could see Christ in us. The Holy Spirit uses us to show sin, to convict of sin, and to show Christ to the world. You think that's maybe why they get so upset at us when we stand firm for Christ? Because they don't want to see the light of Jesus Christ in us? Oh yeah, I've had people get really angry because I try to give them what God says. No, they don't like that. They don't want to hear it. But the Spirit is in us when we know Christ is our Savior. And when the Spirit is there, they can't help but be convicted. Because the Spirit lives within. The Holy Spirit came upon every believer in the world on the day of Pentecost. Jesus had died, had been buried, and then came the resurrection. And then he was around for 40 days, and then the ascension. And then, shortly after that, the Holy Spirit came. Jesus had told them what? It's to your advantage that I go away, because then I will send you the Holy Spirit, and he's not on us just for a short time. He doesn't just come upon me so I can preach a message, and then he says, okay, that's over. I'm out of here. No, he stays. He's with us from the time we're saved until we're taken home to be with Jesus Christ. That is a privilege that they did not know before Pentecost. Okay, so it's just the last 2,000 years or so, almost 2,000 years, that every believer has actually had the Holy Spirit upon them. Sometimes we kind of forget that, and we take it for granted that he's going to be there. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay, yeah, that's fine. You know, I'm not going to worry about that. It's a benefit that we have that Jesus Christ gave us because of the resurrection. He went away, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and then he said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And he's never going to leave you. What a benefit. What a thing to celebrate, the resurrection. So the Holy Spirit is here. Remember, it was tongues of fire and the sound of a rushing wind. And then they were filled with the Spirit. And then Peter preached that message. And man, what a message. And many people were saved because of that. Because the Spirit comes to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So when we talk to people about Jesus Christ, sometimes they accept, sometimes they say, well, maybe later, sometimes they get angry, but our job is to show them Christ. And who does that through us? The Holy Spirit. So we are never alone in this world. The promise of the Holy Spirit is that He's always there. He's always there. He never leaves. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says, you are not in the flesh, but the Spirit of God, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If you are saved, you have the Spirit. He stays. He goes wherever you go. Even if we go places that, it's kind of embarrassing to go here. I'm sure glad God's not watching. Not only is God watching, He's with you. Where are you taking Him? Oh, yeah, good to take Him to church. We're not too embarrassed about that. But sometimes we might be real embarrassed if we realized or remembered that the Spirit is with us. He never leaves. Not even when we do things that are foolish and sinful. He cares for us. And He's promised. In Hebrews 13, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's awesome. That God would do that for us. What a God that loves us. So the resurrection is evidence that God loves us. And it shows us that God wants to be with us. Can you imagine that? God wants to be with us? Sometimes I marvel, I don't even want to be with me. And yet God wants to be with me. And it's like, that's love. That He says, I have saved you, I am with you, and nothing can separate me from you. I will not allow it. God promised the Holy Spirit, and He's with us wherever we go. He's active in our lives. And the interesting thing is, the more we listen, and the more that we obey, the more filling He has of us. The more He controls us for holiness and doing the right thing. So can we be holy people in the actions of our lives? Yes. Because the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to do so. He teaches us things that we ought to be doing. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, who knows the mind of the Lord, that He will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How do we know what God wants of us? Oh, the Spirit is with us and He shows us what the mind of God is. When we read the Word, how do we understand it? The Spirit is there to teach us, to show us what the Word says, so that we understand what God wants us to do. We understand spiritual truth through His teaching. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught with human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. We know spiritual because we have the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when things seem to be so difficult, who do we turn to? We turn to God, and the Spirit is there to comfort and to guide and to advise and to fill us with a peace and a joy, a peace that passes understanding. That's what He's there for. And He does that because He loves us. Because He wants to be with us and because He wants to do the things in us that we need. So, knowing and understanding the Word, teaching the Word, you don't have to have a big degree to be able to know and understand the Word. You don't have to, I went to Bible college and I've got all this understanding, and so you don't need to read Scripture. You let me tell you what it says. No. You let the Spirit tell you what it says. And when I preach, I always tell people, check me out. Go back to the Word. It doesn't matter what kind of a degree I have. What matters is if I pay attention to what the Spirit says and I teach according to what the Spirit has put in the Word. Okay, be Bereans. Check me out. Make sure it's right. And if you have a question, always talk to me. Call me on the phone. Caller me at church, wherever, you know, make sure that what you hear is coming out of the Word. Because the Spirit is a teacher. I'm just an instrument for the Spirit. And if I get it wrong, I want to correct it. You know? Either by you or by the Spirit or by both. So the Spirit is our teacher. And it's not so mysterious that we can't understand what it says. Somebody was talking about all the genealogies this morning. That gets a little boring sometimes to read through them. But you know, sometimes you see somebody there that just say, wait a minute. Well, think of this one. Rahab. Rahab is in the genealogies in several different places. And one of the most important places she is where? In the line of Christ. And it's like, wow. Now that's a genealogy that's really important because it shows us what God can do with a person that turns to Him and gives their life over to Him. So the Spirit is a marvelous teacher and He helps us to apply Scripture. That's why we're told in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman that does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of truth. How do we accurately handle the Word of truth? We listen to the Spirit as we read, and He teaches. Yeah, sometimes you need to ask people, I don't understand exactly what this is saying. So it's good to be at church so you can hear the teaching of the Word. But you can also read it for yourself and understand what God is saying because God is in you. And He says, hey, I wrote the book. Let me help you understand what it says here. So I hope you, when you read and when you study the Word, that you pray and say, Lord, what exactly does this mean? Help me to understand and help me to see how it applies in my life. Because the Spirit is right there with you while you're reading, helping you to learn and helping you to apply these things. That's a benefit of the resurrection. God does it. By the way, in John chapter 15 and verse 26, Jesus said this, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, or the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about Me, and you will also testify because you have been with Me from the beginning. So, when you read the Word, when you read other people's stories or commentaries, when you hear somebody preaching, if their focus is not on Jesus Christ, turn them off. Because they're not under the Spirit's teaching and guidance. Because it says He will testify about who? Jesus Christ. Who is the focus of our life? Jesus Christ. The Spirit is in us. The Spirit is with us to teach us, to encourage us, to help us, to fill us with joy, to fill us with peace, to give us all that we need, but who is He going to focus on? Jesus Christ. So understand that life is about Jesus, and the Spirit within us teaches us that and focuses on Him in our lives. Real teachers don't focus on themselves. Real teachers focus on Jesus Christ. He's the one. And the Holy Spirit focuses on Him. If Jesus had not raised from the dead, the Holy Spirit would not be in us. Because that's His promise. I will send the Spirit. So the resurrection is the reason the Holy Spirit came. Because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Jesus' resurrection proves who He is, enabled Him to ascend to heaven and send the Spirit down to be with us. Okay, you see that group of people down there? That's who you need to go down to. Fill them. They really need it. You know, sometimes I am so thankful that the Spirit is with me. And that He fills me with understanding. And that He fills me with peace. And that He fills me with all that I need to live every day. And when I look at the world out there, no wonder they're going crazy. They don't have the Spirit to help them live life. When we have the Spirit to live life, oh man, what a joy. What a peace. I don't ever want to know, and I won't have the ability to, because Jesus, the Spirit says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I never want to know what it's like to not have the Spirit in my life. I am so thankful that Jesus died, buried, rose again, ascended, and sent His Spirit. What an awesome God we have that would do that for us. What a marvelous God to do that. Holiness through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have power in the Holy Spirit. We have abilities that we are given. We have the ability to say no to sin. I think that's one of the reasons the world is really pressing in on us now. Because they don't have the ability to say no. And it seems like the faster they run, the worse it gets. Because the only way they can run is to sin. And I believe that God only allows sinners to go so far or they destroy themselves. I think they're pushing on the fence right now. They're kicking on the fence and trying to get it down so that they can just run headlong into sin and destroy themselves. And you know what? We have the ability to say no to sin. Do we always use that ability? Okay, go to Romans chapter 3, or chapter 6, and starting in verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we might no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now that doesn't mean we don't commit sin, but it means that we have the ability to say, no, I am not going to fall to that temptation. We can resist. And often we do resist. Not every time do we resist. But we have the ability. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, He sent the Holy Spirit, and through the holiness that the Spirit gives to us, we can say, no, I will not do that. And that just drives the world crazy. They just don't know what to do with us do-gooders. You know, how can you do that? You know, and they push hard because they don't understand. They want it, but they don't want to yield to Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you're yielded to Jesus Christ? They don't know what they're missing. They just don't understand it, and they don't know what they're missing. Because Jesus was raised, we have a new life, a new way of looking at things. And we have new abilities that the world will never have until they have Jesus Christ. So we are freed from sin, from slavery to sin. Doesn't mean that we don't give in to temptation. There's no perfection this side of heaven. I'm looking forward to perfection on the other side of heaven. I'm looking forward to a new body on the other side. But right now, I'm thankful that I have the Holy Spirit to live this life and to be able to do the things that God wants me to do. Excuse me. The Holy Spirit reminds us that we are holy and that we don't have to sin. He does remind us of that. And a lot of times He uses scripture verses to remind us of that. And that's why I think it's important to memorize scripture, because then when we're being tempted, the Holy Spirit often will use a verse, bring it to mind and say, Tom, you don't have to do that, you know. Move away. Or like Joseph, run. Run away from that. And sometimes we have to run to get away from it. But we do have that ability because of Jesus Christ. Again, Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all, but the life that He lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. As Christ died and paid for sin and was raised up, we are dead to the slavery of sin, a benefit of the resurrection. We have the abilities now to not sin. How awesome it is to be able to say no to sin and to realize that we have Scripture, which is our best defense. By the way, when Jesus was tempted by Satan, what was his defense? Scripture. Should we follow his example? Oh yeah. Yes, we should. So, memorize Scripture. Yes, it's work. Yes, it is. When I was in Bible college, I had a professor. Every class of his I took, he had us memorize two chapters. I thought I was going to die. But then the second semester, I think I had him all 4 years, at least one class, sometimes two classes. By the second year, it was getting a lot easier. Oh, and by the way, he didn't just let you quote. He would have quizzes, and he would say, okay, I want you to write down verses 2, 4, 6, and 8 in this chapter. He made us know. You know what? I thought, this guy's a pain. And then I realized, and I still realize many years later, this guy knew what he was talking about. He knew that the Spirit would use those things that we had memorized to overcome sin and to resist sin and to be able to apply and to be able to encourage and help other people. I'm thankful for the pain he put me through because it's been very effective. So Scripture is one of our best sources. I hope in areas where you have struggles that you memorize things to help you and to use them to overcome sin. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. Do you have trouble with putting your foot in your mouth? I have found for me often the best way for me to respond is to keep my big mouth shut. That's one thing that I've really learned. And I learned it from Scripture because it also says in Proverbs that it's better to keep your mouth shut and be thought wise than open your mouth so that you can show them that you're a fool. I'm thinking, God's pretty smart in knowing how to teach me that. So when we have struggles, get a 3x5 card, write a verse that applies to your struggle, and keep it in your pocket, and whip that card out. Oh yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help me to overcome. Help me to resist. Help me to run. Help me to have the ability to say no to sin. So, through the resurrection, we are now people that have a fruit of holiness. The ability to live life holy. God has called us to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, he doesn't mince words. Be holy, for I am holy. Now, he says that to us, and then he gives us the Holy Spirit. So, when he tells us to do something, he gives us the ability to do it through the Holy Spirit. So a benefit of the resurrection is when we are commanded to be holy, God gives us the ability to follow the command. He doesn't just tell me to build a rocket, you know, and I haven't got a clue how to do it. If he wanted me to build a rocket, he would give me the ability to build a rocket, but you wouldn't want to ride in a rocket that I built. So I'll stick with teaching. I'll stick with preaching. I can do a little woodwork, but not on rockets. Not on rockets. The Holy Spirit sets us apart from sin away from sin and sets us to holiness, I think it's appropriate that he calls, his title is Holy Spirit. Holiness is his specialty. And holiness in us is his specialty now. And he makes us holy. He wants us to be holy. He cares about holiness in us. It means that we should be dedicated to living godly, to living God's way. That means that my way, when it doesn't conform to God's way, needs to go that away. Okay? And I need to follow God's way. Okay? I need to do what God says. And that's what Jesus meant when he says in Luke chapter 9 to take up our cross daily and follow him. That cross means to nail your way to the cross and send it packing and do God's way. Is that always fun? Is that always easy? Not that I found. Do I always like it? No, sometimes I grumble about it. Don't ask my wife, but yeah, she can tell you that sometimes I grumble about it. But I want to follow his way because that's the holy way. And that's the desire that the Spirit gives us who is in us because of the resurrection, because he cares about us. Holiness. It's a relationship. It's a direction in life. It's a world view that we should be following. Can we do it? I can do some things through Christ who strengthens me. How many things? All things. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit and he gives us the ability to do whatever he wants us to do, whatever he commands us to do. That is awesome. That is incredible that God would do that for us. He cares that much about us. The world needs to see the resurrection of Jesus Christ in us. Getting to know the living one, Jesus Christ, is our priority. It should be the thing that we desire, that we work on, that we live daily, is getting to know Christ more and more and more. And who teaches us about Christ? Oh, the Holy Spirit that's living within us. That's what life is all about, is Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit tells us that. The joy of the cross, the joy of living God's way is because the Spirit fills us with that joy. Doesn't mean I'm always happy about things that are going on, but whether I'm happy or not, there's an underlying joy that the Spirit gives to us to live the resurrection life because of Jesus Christ. Pictures of the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 3 says, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We are secure, so keep your mind where your security is. Keep your life with Him who gives us the ability to do that. The Holy Spirit. Because Christ, when He raised, gave us that ability. He cares about us that much. Some things that the world looks at as normal, we were to clean out of our lives. I mean, the world doesn't really understand sin. They don't understand holiness like we do. Look at verse 5 of Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. If all of those were taken out of the movies, how many movies would there be? Well, they'd have a rough time figuring out what kind of script to put in there, wouldn't they? It's just part of life. Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God has come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now, put them all aside. Wrath, anger, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free man, but Christ is all and in all. Christ gives us the ability to say no to the garbage and live a godly life. And it just drives the world crazy. You don't act loving. If you love me, you let me do anything I wanted, and you wouldn't be telling me no that that's sin. That's not real love. Really. If I have a child and he wants to go into the street and I restrain him, is it because I love him or because I don't love him that I restrain him from going in the street? I love him, so I keep him out of the street. Look, kid, you're going to get hit. Okay? The world says, you don't love me. You ought to let me do anything I want, and don't tell me, don't disagree with me. Isn't it funny that they equate love with sin rather than love with God? Who do we equate love with? God. God is love. And the Spirit is there to help us overcome sin and overcome these things. The world expects everyone to have a me-first attitude. Christ expects us to have a him-first attitude. That's the strength and the ability that he gives to us. So we clash with the world. The normal Christian life. What should your life look like with the Spirit inside? What is the Spirit working on in our life to make us more like Christ? So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Oh, I don't like that one. Patience. Okay. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. That's what the Holy Spirit is working on in you. He's working to make us patient, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. He's working on love in our life. He's working on kindness and humility and gentleness and compassion. Is that always easy to do? That's not the natural man. So the Spirit has to work on those things in our lives. And do we ever resist? I do. Sometimes I grumble and fight about it, and then the Lord says, aren't you supposed to be like Christ? Oh yeah. Right. So the Spirit is there as a witness to remind us who we are and where we're headed. I'm thankful that he's there in my life. I'm thankful that he keeps reminding me. Our inner life dwelling richly in Scripture produces amazing results. Amazing results. Our inner life dwelling richly in Scripture affects us and others. It affects our relationships. In a world that doesn't know how to relate to one another, we do. Because we're the experts? No, because the Holy Spirit is in to teach us and help us. Another influence in holiness is prayer. And we are invited before the throne at any time, are we not? Hebrews chapter 4. And we're also told that the Spirit, when we come to God in prayer, is right there helping us with prayer. Sometimes our requests, we don't even know how to form the words for requests on some of those really intense things. but the Spirit does. And the Spirit is in us to help us and strengthen us. And between being in the Word and spending time in prayer, I have found that the more time I spend in prayer, the more influence for holiness I find in my life. If you want to grow in holiness, spend time with the Lord. That's what it takes. He's the one that influences us. If you want to grow in the junk of the world, just sit in front of the boob tube and watch all the stupid shows that are on. You know, they drive me crazy, you know. And I think the reason they drive me crazy is because the Spirit says that's not where you want to go. That's not what you want to do. Let me influence you for what is right. Okay, drawing near is growing in holiness. And we are told in James 4, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will what? Draw near to you. What a promise. The Spirit is there to help us draw near, and we will draw near to the Lord because the Spirit is inside. Now, if he's inside me, how can I get any nearer? The idea is near to godliness, near in godliness, in actions, in thoughts, in the way that I live. And it's evidenced by the things that go on in our life and the sin that gets away that we lose in our life. One of the greatest ways to see how holiness is growing in our lives is in Galatians 5:22 and 23. Fruit of the Spirit in your life, in my life, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are those things in your life, and are they growing? If they are, then you're listening to the Spirit. The more we listen to the Spirit, the more we will hear and teach. He will teach us, and the more we will grow in our relationship with Him. And the more we will hear Him, the louder we will hear Him, and the more we will grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's a matter of will, of doing what God wants, of listening and following and obeying. Because He lives, we can live holy lives. We can live Spirit-filled lives. Not perfection, but growing in holiness, in a daily growth, to be more like Jesus Christ, to understand what sin is and to hate it like He does, and to live a life that the world can see Christ in us, so that you and I can see Christ in one another and say, I want to be more like that person. I want to spend time with you because I want more of what you have. Yeah, I'm saved, but I want more of you. So when Jesus Christ raised from the dead, He did more than give us eternal life. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we would be holy, so that we would grow in holiness, so that we would have abilities that they did not have in the Old Testament. We're living in privileged times. We're living with a God that cares so much that He's willing to dwell inside of us and never leave us. Is that an awesome God? Amen. Father, we are so thankful that You are an awesome, loving, beyond anything we could possibly describe God. Thank You for the Holy Spirit in us. Help us to be more and more tuned in to Your Spirit, that You may teach, that You may convict, that You may help us to grow, that You may help us to live a life of salt and light so the world can see Christ in us. Lord, thank You for what we have because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. May we live it every day, thrilled that the Spirit is in us. Thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.